produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day. My name is Mutale Kalenga, coming to you from Johannesburg, South Africa, the city of God. Your program is One Soul at a Time for Jesus, broadcasting on SKM Radio Network, produced by Mercedes Kotu. It gives me a great pleasure to talk to you about Jesus Christ and His kingdom today. To all our listeners who are loved by God and created in His image and His likeness to be His holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. The context, the program today is about Jesus Christ and His humility. Jesus Christ and His humility. The context in which Jesus Christ confirmed to His disciples that they should not think that He had come to abolish the law or the prophets, but that He had come to fulfill them, is said as follows. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, He went up on a mountain side and sat down. His disciples came to Him and He began to teach them. He said, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, He said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. The Jewish people and the disciples, in their ignorance, had begun to entertain the idea that Jesus had come to abolish the law or the prophets. However, Jesus had a better idea, which was revolutionary, because He informed them that He had in fact come to fulfill them, because not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, would by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. God does not speculate when He says things. He is all-knowing, and His perfect knowledge is not constrained by the passage of time. Therefore, He must have shocked them when He told them that anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, the law, or what the prophets taught, were definitely hard to practice, and that is why God the Father saw it fit to send his only begotten Son to come and fulfill them. Jesus did this by becoming sin so that those who believe in him can become the righteousness of God. Therefore, it is essential that we practice and teach God's commands in their entirety so that we can be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Through the substitutionary and selfless action of Jesus Christ, our righteousness has surpassed that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and we will certainly enter the kingdom of heaven on Christ's credentials and merit. Apostle Paul belabored this point when he wrote to the Ephesian believers thus: "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of this great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kingdom to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. So Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law and the prophets, and the evidence is there because God has raised us up with Christ and he has seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For indeed it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, and this is not from ourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Grace is indeed God's unmerited favor, extended to a wretched sinner like me, so that I can become God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for me to do. Therefore, Since I am in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled me to himself through Christ and gave me the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting my sins against me. And he has committed to me the message of reconciliation. I am therefore Christ's ambassador, as though God was making his appeal through me. I humbly also implore you, fellow believers, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Jesus Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might all become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. Now let us look closely at what Jesus said in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 5. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. The second part of verse 19 reads as follows. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. We would like to note the sequence of things to do by anyone who will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Firstly, that person must practice God's commands and then teach them. The problem with the Pharisees was that they taught what they did not practice, and that is why Jesus called them hypocrites. Unfortunately, the Pharisee malaise has persisted among believers to this very day. Many of us want to be teachers of scriptures which we do not practice. Jesus Christ addressed this Pharisee malaise when he washed his disciples' feet. And when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Verily, truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. John chapter 13, verses 12 to 17. Please note how Jesus demonstrated practice. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Verily, truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Practice means doing what Jesus did, which John captured thus. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. John chapter 13, verses 2 to 5. Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Please note that Jesus did not ask any of his disciples to pour water into a basin before he began to wash his disciples' feet. And he did not ask them to dry themselves with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus Christ did all these things by himself. After he poured water into a basin and washed his disciples' feet and dried them with the towel that was wrapped around him, he said, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So, dear believer, learn to practice God's commands first, and then teach these same commands so that you will be eligible to be called great in the kingdom of God. Remember, this is what was spoken by Jesus Christ. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these things, these commands, will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Now, these lessons that we have learned from Jesus Christ are important lessons in the body of Christ, particularly today. Today, we have a phenomenon that has grown up in the body of Christ, where the so-called men and women of God want to be saved and sometimes even worshipped by the people whom God has called them to shepherd. They are not shepherds at all. They are not shepherding the flock. I'm sure you have noted how believers who are in leadership in the body of Christ want the doors of their cars to be opened, want the Bibles to be taken to the pulpit before they teach by other people. There are some people that even when they go to the toilet, people have to follow them and stand at the door of the toilet waiting for them to finish their business inside the toilet and come out. They want to be called Papa. They want to be called Mama. They want to be respected. This is the point that Jesus Christ was making. It's a very important point, and it's a critical point. That if you desire to be called great in the kingdom of God, then you must practice humility. You must practice the commands of God before you can teach them. The Pharisees had this problem in their midst. They were very good teachers. They had studied the law. They understood the law, and they taught it. But they had one big problem, that the law which they taught and they required those whom they were teaching to obey, they did not want to practice it at all. And that's why Jesus Christ called them hypocrites. He said to them, "You hypocrites." Hypocrisy is what Jesus Christ hates. Dear believer, if you want to be called great in the kingdom of God, do as Jesus Christ did. Look at Jesus Christ. He was Lord. He is Master. He is the Son of God. He is the Word of God. He was with God in the beginning. He is God, and he was sent by God. And yet, he is the Son of God, the Master, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He stepped down, poured water into a basin, and began to wash his disciples' dead feet. And after he had washed them, he dried them with the towel that was wrapped under around his waist. This is the Son of God. This is what he did. He didn't ask his disciples to come and say, "Disciple Peter, disciple John, come and wash my feet. Look how my feet are. Because I've been walking and I have gathered dust on my feet, come and wash them." He didn't do that. The Lord himself, the King of Kings himself, the one who came from heaven, the one that was in the beginning with God, the one who created things, and through him nothing that was created would have been created, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the King of Kings, stooped low and washed his disciples' feet. This is the example that he wants us to learn. This is the practice that is conveying to us. In case you don't understand, and you began to say, "What does it mean to practice?" To practice the commands of God means, first of all, you do the things that you are reading in the scriptures. They become part of your lifestyle, and you begin to obey the commands that you are reading in the scriptures before you can open your mouth and begin to teach them. Otherwise, when you teach these things before you have practiced them, you are a hypocrite. You are no better than the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, whom Jesus Christ labeled as hypocrites. This is very, very important. And dear believers, this is why the Lord Jesus Christ came to us, and God the Father placed upon him our sin, so that he became sin himself, and he was taken to be crucified in our stead where we could have been crucified, so that we can become the righteousness of God. This is the message that Paul was conveyed to the Corinthians in the text that we read. Grace is indeed God's unmerited favor extended to a wretched sinner like me. So I have become God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for me to do. Therefore, since I am in Christ, the new creation has come, the creation of humility. The old has gone up away, the old of exaltation and worshipping my ego. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled me to himself through Christ and gave me the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting my sins against me. And he has committed to me the message of reconciliation. I am therefore Christ's ambassador, as though God were making his appeal through me. I humbly also implore you, dear believers, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Jesus Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for all of us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is the message that the Apostle Paul was conveying to the Corinthians. And that is the message that was conveyed in the act of the Lord Jesus Christ washing his disciples' feet, washing them with the towel and rubbing them and so on, so that they were clean. Very, very important messages that we must be able to say. This is a very important lesson in the body of Christ, as I have said, particularly today. You men who want others to carry your Bibles, you men who want others to stand outside the door of the toilet when you are inside the toilet, learn these lessons. This is what God wants us to be. Humble. God wants us to be people of humility. People wants us to be shepherds of the sheep among whom he has given us responsibility to be shepherds. That concludes our program for the day. My name is Mutale Kalenga, coming to you from Johannesburg, South Africa. The program was One Soul at a Time for Jesus. See you next week, God willing, at the same time on your radio station, SKM Radio, at your network. Bye, and have a blessed week ahead of you as we strive to obey God's will in 2019 by God's wonderful and amazing grace.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Ngiyanibingelela bazalwane egameni lika Jesu Kristu waseNazaretha. Ngiyanemukela elihlelweni lithemba lelingcono. Nemukelwa sikhondise Nkosi ibheka amabuza, ngemukela ngisembabane eSwatini. asithandaze babe lo ingcwele siyakubonga kusihlwa sibonga livi lakho leli kuphila ngalo babe senda konke ngalo siyanqoba ngalo babe siyaphila ngalo siyakhula egwadini siseta lihlephula nalamhla sendele umusa wendele buhle beligama la Jesu. Amen. Brethren, just last week we were celebrating the Easter. I thought it would be relevant for us to talk about the relevance of the power of the cross to marriage. The Bible in John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief cometh but to steal and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." One of the things that the devil has stolen is happiness in our marriages. I want us to consider certain things that I think are relevant in as far as the cross is to marriage. Because if Christ died, rose again, and conquered the devil, that there must be a relevance to that triumph to marriage. We can't have a situation where our marriages are suffering so much, and yet Christ did such a wonderful work for us at the cross. Now, let me begin by saying one of the main evidences that the cross has power is in its effect on daily living. We can't say the cross has the power if we don't see its effect on our daily living. In the cross, there is what we refer to as vertical relationship and horizontal relationship. The vertical relationship is the relationship with God, whilst the horizontal relationship is the relationship with people. You cannot claim to have a very good relationship with God while your relationships with people is in a mess. You are at loggerheads with your spouse, with your family, with your colleagues at work, with your neighbors. Your relationship with people must be healthy. Paul says, if it be possible, be at peace with all men. The purpose of my message today is to explore the relevance of the cross in a marriage relationship. Let me just begin by stating some of the things that are relevant in the state of our marriages. There is a writer called Dr. Gary. He wrote a book on the six secrets to a lasting love. He mentions the following as the state of our relationship in marriage. He says there is what we call discord in a marriage relationship. He refers this as a situation where most of your thoughts about your spouse are negative, where you say things at each other that are hurtful, where you feel that you and your spouse are at war, where true tenderness with your spouse is fading away or is a faded memory, where you wonder how it would be if you were married to another person. There is also a state in a marriage relationship which he refers to as disconnect, where you sometimes feel lonely even when you are with your spouse, where even when you are together, you seldom have much to say to each other, where you even doubt that your marriage can change for the better, where it is difficult to feel that your spouse loves you. When you talk to each other, there is often misunderstanding and you misinterpret each other. There is another state in a marriage relationship which refers to as distance, where your relationship could be likened to one that is fair to part the cloud without clearing up. Where you often feel that your time you spend with activities that don't include your spouse. That is how you spend your time. You just do things alone. Where you keep many of your feelings and thoughts from your spouse. Where you've given up most of your expectations of your spouse. You know, when you get married, when you get involved in a relationship, you have expectations, and these expectations are sometimes not met, and then you give up on your spouse. There is also a state of discouragement, where you often wonder if you are missing out on something in your marriage, where you have developed a mental list of reasons why you are not dissatisfied with your marriage, where you feel that your own needs are not being met. Instead, the friends of your spouse, church activities, kids, business, is more important than yourself. This is where you even wonder if your choice of a spouse was a mistake. There is also a state in a marriage, a state of disappointment, where you feel that your spouse is not the flawless person you thought you married. You feel you are really bored in this marriage, where you feel that you and your spouse have caused each other to feel hurt and angry. You also develop a mental list of things you wish you could change about your spouse. in this state you have difficulty expressing affirmation to or about your spouse. And you compare your spouse to other people. There's also a state in a marriage relationship of emotional divorce, where you are staying married for other reasons other than love from your spouse. You have given up hope that your marriage could be better, where you pretend that you are okay with your marriage to keep up appearances. And your first goal is to protect yourself from further pain. Now, I have just stated a list of possibilities that your marriage could be in this state. But I don't want you to despair. There is hope for your marriage because of what Jesus did on the cross. There are these things which I want us to learn from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross that could be relevant in our marriages. Christ served us. Christ persevered. Christ had forgiving love. Christ had guarding love. Christ had renewing love. Let us read the Bible in the book of Luke chapter 22. And read verses 31 and 32. The Bible says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you, to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. My brother and sister, this is guarding love. Guarding love expresses, protects from threats, and helps spouses feel safe and secure. Guarding love protects your heart from threat to your marriage. Marriages are threatened by many forces such as busyness, job stresses, sexual temptations, and worldly distractions. The Lord Jesus says to Simon here, I have pleaded in prayer for you that your faith should not fail. My brother and sister, how many times do you plead for your spouse? Do you plead for your wife in prayer that her faith may fail not? How many times, my sister in the Lord, do you plead for your husband that his faith may fail not? That he may pass the test of sexual temptations, the test of stresses, the test of wealth destruction. Now, brother and sister, I want to submit to you that the number one prayer item for you should be your spouse. Prioritize your spouse in prayer. Make it your mission to pray for your spouse. Guard your marriage against any form of threat. Protect your marriage by prayer from any form of stress, of temptation. Protect it. Now, there is also what we refer to as persevering love. Luke chapter 22, verse 40 to 46 says, let's start from 39. Then, accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell on the ground like great drops of blood. At last he stood up again and returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. What was happening here, my brother? Christ was persevering. It was not easy. And persevering love stays strong in tough times and helps spouses feel bonded, best friends for life. Persevering love sustains you through trials of life. Daily life is hazardous, my brother. Accidents happen. Tragedies strike. Losses occur. And you need this kind of love. As you implement persevering love, you will bond with your spouse and enjoy life through thick and thin. This is the kind of love that made Jesus go on to the cross, even when it was difficult. He said, if you are willing, Lord, take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. My brother and sister, it is God's will that you stick to your marriage, that you persevere in your marriage. But you need persevering love. It says here, he found his disciples tired, asleep, exhausted from grief, because it was tough. And he said to them, get up and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. Persevering love helps us not to give in to temptations. We need this love to sustain our marriages. Unless you have been to the cross, it is difficult to implement this love. Now, the next is serving love. Romans chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse number 25 to 27. The Bible says, Jesus told them, in this world the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Serving love helps you discover and meet each other's deepest needs. Physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. When we serve, we humble ourselves just as Jesus did when he washed the disciples' feet in John chapter 13. My brother and sister, you need to serve your spouse. I know here in Africa we have a challenge with this. You find that most men have difficulty preparing the bed, have difficulty cooking, have difficulty cleaning, have difficulty assisting their wives with household chores. But if love is to be, marriage is to be sustainable, we must serve each other. That is what Jesus taught here, that even the leader amongst you, the leader must be the one who serves. This is a lesson. Even when Christ went to the cross, he went there as a servant to serve us. And he washed the disciples' feet to teach them servanthood. This we must learn. This we must do. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 10, says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never, verse 11, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Now, this is an instruction. We must love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. That is serving love. My brother and sister, we move on to forgiving love. Forgiving love heals hurts and helps spouses feel accepted and connected. Forgiving love offers a fresh start after we've offended and hurt each other. This is important, my brother and sister. We hurt each other in marriage relationships, and we need this love. We need forgiving love. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, do all you can to live in peace with everyone. And the first priority should be your spouse. Be at peace with your spouse. And the only way this can be achieved is when you are forgiving love. To forgive is to release somebody. Don't hold grudges. Ningatubani. It offers a fresh start. My brother, you need a fresh start in your marriage. Forgive your spouse. You know, there are examples of this forgiving love. And Christ is a leading example. When you read the book of Colossians 1:13, Christ rescued us from darkness. Colossians 1:14, Christ redeemed us. Colossians 1:22, Christ reconciled us to God. Colossians 1:22, Christ makes us able to stand before God without blemish. Christ clears us of all accusations. 1 John 1:9, Christ cleanses us from every wrong. I am not saying your spouse has not wronged you. But forgiving love clears him or her from every wrong. Forgiving love clears him or her from all accusations. Forgiving love reconciles. It is my prayer, my brother and sister, that you would reach a stage where you celebrate love. The book of Songs, Solomon chapter 1 verse 4, the book of Songs of Solomon chapter 7 verse 5 and 6 demonstrate how love is celebrated. And lastly, you need renewing love. Renewing love regards the marriage covenant as unbreakable. God hates divorce. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. Help this couple that has heard this message to renew their love, to exercise forgiving love, to exercise guarding love, to exercise persevering love, to exercise serving love. This I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Goeiedag luisteraars, vandag groet ek julle weer. Ek Pastor Chief Dave Johnson, rechtstreeks vanaf Kimberley in Suid-Afrika, en jy luister na die program Kijk na God, wat geproduceer door Jasma Sidi Scotty en Kayla Paget op die radiostasie Simikotu Ministries. Vandag groet ek julle weer in die naam van die Vader en die Seun en die Heilige Gees. Amen. My broers en my sisters, weet jy, vandag gaan ons so bykie een paar skrifte lees, ne? Yeah, today we're going to read a few less scriptures today. En die belangrikste ding wat ons vandag oorkom praat is om te kan onthou, jy weet, as jy gaan kyk na hierdie week wat nou voorbij is, of hierdie paar dae wat ons nou eintlik in is, praat ons baie van die afgestervens van Jesus Christus, die kruis. Ons praat baie van die kruis. En jy weet, hierdie tyd is daar baie goed wat ons doen, jy weet nie. Maar as jy gaan kyk, is dit rarig in die Bybel? Ek kyk soos nou vir, maar kom ons vat nou vir voorbeeld, nie. Bijvoorbeeld, dit is nou oor die pasnaweek. Wat is pasnaweek vir ons? Wat is pasnaweek? Jy weet, daar is hierdie lekker goed wat ons eet en vis wat ons deel en ons eet. Ja, ek word maar nou groot met hierdie goed, jy weet, en Kimberley is ons baie wel bekend met, jy weet, die roep om die pickled fish, nee, die gekarie vis. En die vis met baie karie en eie en baie goed, nee. Maar as jy nou kom kyk, waar staat dit in die Bybel dat ons moet dit vier, verstaan jy? En as jy gaan kyk, Hoekom vier ons eintlik hierdie dag? Kijk, ons roep het pas na week. Dat is niet weer zoals ik dat gekend heb. Die jaren was het Goede Vrijdag. Nee, dat was die tijd wat Jezus Christus nou afgestorven werd en begraven is. Maar als je kijkt naar die zondag, heeft hij opgestaan. Kijk, ons gaat lezen hier in Johannes, nee, Johannes 20. Maar het gaat niet voor ons zo groot. Wat ik niet wil, ons moet hier zo lezen. Kom, ons lees net gewoon. Nee. Laat ons net gewoon iets kijken. Ons gaan die andere schriften lezen. Johannes 20, nee. Vanaf versie 3. Nee, Johannes, vanaf versie 1. Jammer. Vanaf versie 1, nee. Gaan ons lees, ek dink daar, so tot daar wie 2, en net van 1 af tot 2. En dit sê, die sondagmorgen vroeg, toe dit nog donker was, kom Maria Magdalena by die graf, en sien dat die klip van die graf weggerol is. Sy hardloop toe en gaan na Simon Peter en die ander disciples, toe vir wie Jesus baie lief was, en sê vir hulle, hulle het die Here uit die graf weggevat. En ons weet nie waar hulle hom nou begrawe het nie. Amen. Hey, weet jy, sal weer daar die tyd van die snoot, nee. Ek vra net om verskoning, my luisteraars. Je weet, die tyd is altyd so bietjie zwaar. En dan weer die snoot loop so af. Jammer om so elke tyd, maar je weet, het is nou baie koud hier in Kimberley. Nou, kom ons lees net gauw bietjie in Engels. As we read from John 20, from verse 1, they happened till verse 2. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the tomb had been removed. The stone had been removed from entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and he said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have taken him. Dit is ons eerste, nee, wat ons gaan lees, wat ons gelees het. Nee. En die tweede ene is daar in Handelinge, nee, daar in Korintiërs, nee. Die Korintiërs, 1 Korintiërs 15 tot 4. So kom ons lees net gauw wat sê vir ons daar so. Is 1 Korintiërs 15 vanaf 3 tot daarby 4, ne? Kom ons sê, die belangrikste wat ek aan julle oorlever het, en wat ook ek ook ontvang het, is dat Christus het vir ons sonde gesterwe volgens die skrifte. Hy is begrawe en op die derde dag opgewek. Volgens die skrifte. Amen. Dit is wat die woord vandag vir ons sê. Nee. Kom, ons gaan net gauw daar in Engels. Laat ons het ook daar in Engels ook net kan neer kan sit. We read from 1 Corinthians 15 from 3 to 4. It says, for what I received I pass on to you. As of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he was risen on the third day according to the scriptures. Amen. En dan het ons laaste enetjie, wat ons gaan lees daar, ek dink is daar by tyd is, nee. Kom ons gaan net gauw, daar so nee, ja, ek het om hier so, as tweede tyd is, daar van tweede tyd is 2, daarop 8. Hy sê, onthou altyd dat Jesus Christus, een nakoming van David, uit die dood opgestaan het. Dit is die evangelie wat ek verkondig. Amen. Dit is wat Paulus vir ons sê. Nou as jy kom kyk, hy sê ons moet onthou dat hy opgestaan het. Daar waar ons gelees het in Johannes. Johannes leer vir ons dat. Toe Maria Magdalena die sondagochtend vroeg. Dit is nog skemer, is donker. Kom ons vat het so. As ons tye kyk, nee, is het donker, daar die tye van april, man. Is het maar altyd so, is het nou beginne. Jy weet, in die van 4 uur tot 5 uur, nee.
En ja, maar 6 uur begin die son nou opkom. Maar hulle sê hier, dit was nog donker. In Johannes sê dit vir ons, dit was nog donker. En toe Maria Magdalena daar kom, het jy gesien die klip was weggerol. Die klip wat daar voor, jy kan like die deur van hierdie graf daar wat hy in gewees het. En dit was leeg. En dit was wegbeweeg en daar was niemand die en sy het gegaan na Petrus toe. Sy het vir Petrus hulle gaan sê, hoorie, die Heer is nie daar nie, ek weet nie waar toe het hulle hom gevat nie, maar iemand het hom uitgevat. Maar jy weet mos wat gaan dan in die skrifte. Tot nou nog ook. Hierdie goed gebeur nog waar jy kom kry. Die woord van die Here is daar vir ons. As jy kyk in baie kere, jy weet nie, ons ongeloofigheid wat ons het. Jy weet nie, ons ongeloofigheid bring ons dat ons twyfel teen baie tye. Maar kom ons kom hier, ek wil eintlik iets vir jou bring. Nie. Ek gaan nie eintlik baie oor regtig wat ek wil vir jou hier bring, is jy moet kyk wat sê Maria Magdalena vir ons, dat hy opgestaan het. En kom ons kyk wat sê Paulus vir ons. Paulus sê vir ons, dat ons moet onthou, dat hy gesterwe dit vir ons, en dat hy opgestaan het vir ons. En dit is iets wat ek wil hê ons moet kyk na. Nie. As dit kom, as ons die pas naweek het, wat ons nou so gevat het, en ons nou ons, jy weet die pas, die woord pas naweek, is iets wat ons gevat het en gedraai het, ons het dit nou iets anders gemaakt. Ek het het geken soos die Goeie Vrydag, in Engels sê hulle Good Friday, en dan eet ons vis, en dan kom ons daar waar ons die pas eierse kry. Waar staan dit in die Bybel, dat ons moet nou, daar, jy weet hulle roep het Easter weekend. Easter is van Vrydag af, wat die Easter nou geselebreid word, tot in soveel as Maandag. Maar as jy kom kyk, Paul sê vir ons, ons moet onthou dat hy vir ons gesterwe het die Vrydag, en dat hy vir ons opgestaan het. Is alles net ons. Dat is niks wat Christus vir homself gedoen het. Hy het ons sonde gevat. Hy het vir ons gesterwe. Hy het vir ons opgestaan. Hy het vir ons opgegaan. Sodat die Heilige Gees kan op ons kom. Is alles net oor ons. Maar kom ons kyk, onthou ons hierdie goed. Jy weet, een ou het ons gestaan en gesels, nee, en ons praat. Weet jy, hoekom is dit wat ons baie kere vergeet van die Here? Is omdat ons sekerlike dae het wat ons vir hom gebeur het. Ons het 'n Sondag wat ons vir hom kerk toe gaan, en as ons uitkom is ons klaar. En dan het ons hierdie dag wat ons nou sal kerk toe gaan. Ek weet, ek het dit ook gedoen. Ek het ook maar net kerk toe gaan as dit pas naweek is. En dan gaan ek kerk toe. En as die Goeie Vrydag, hy Sondag klaar is, dan is dit klaar met kerk. Maandag is dit iets anders wat ons doen. En dan is dit weer ons, weet jy, dan gaan ons weer eers, as het Kersfees is, as het Kersfees is, dan gaan ons weer kerk toe. Ons doen, ons vier hierdie dag. Maar die vraag kom, onthou ons hierdie dag. Weet jy, iemand het gestaan en my gesê, sê wie, so baie mense kan nie hulle verjaarsdags onthou nie. Hy onthou net as hy gesê word, hey, gelukkige verjaarsdag vandag. Alman groet om die mense wat onthou dat hy het verjaar. En dan groet hulle, hey, happy birthday. Jy weet, ons onthou nie, want ons vier dit een keer in 'n jaar en dan vier ons dit. So ek het gaan sit en kyk in my vraag, maar is daar 'n probleem met die vier van ons? Want as ons gaan begin 'n fees hou op daai dag en as daai dag klaar is, dan vergeet ons alles en dan beweeg ons vorentoe en dan kyk ons iets anders weer. Maar as ons elke dag gaan onthou dat Christus vir ons gesterwe het, hy het vir ons gesterwe die Vrydag, en hy het vir ons opgestaan die Sondag, en as jy kyk, wat het hy gemaak die Saterdag? Baie mense preek nie daarvan nie. Baie mense sê nie wat het hy gedoen, die tyd wat hy stil was nie. En die Bybel leer vir ons, dat hy het afgegaan na die diepte van die hel, en die sleutels van ons verlossing te gaan haal by die duivel. Hy het die duivel oorwin. Daai Satan het hy vir ons ook nog steeds gewerk. Hy het afgegaan na die duivel om ons verlossing te gaan haal, sodat ons ons plek kan terug kan neem in die hemel, in die Here in. As jy kan kyk, dit was God en dit was man. En ons het dit so gedreig dat ons die duivel bokant ons gesit het. Met ons sonde wat ons gedoen het, het ons alles, ons het ons plek weggevat waar ons gewees het. En ons het die duivel bo op kan ons gesit. Dis hoekom die duivel ons lewe nou vandag het in sy hande. En ons lewe is nie weer in Christus nie. Maar Christus het gekom, hy het vir ons kom sterwe. En in die Saterdag het hy afgegaan na die hel se put toe. In die put van die hel het hy afgegaan om die sleutels van ons verlossings te kan gaan haal. So het hy vir ons verlos uit die sonde uit. En toe hy uitkom in dit, het hy ons teruggebring dat ons weer kan bo kan die duivel kan is. Sodat wanneer die duivel kom en vir jou kan sê, maak so, dan sê jy vir hom, maar die skrif sê nie so nie, die skrif sê so. As hy vir jou kan sê, val hier af, dan sê jy vir jou ja, maar die Bybel sê, ek moet net een Here dien. En ek het net een God. So die duivel kan nie vir jou instruksies gee nie. En as hy vir jou gaan sê, jy kan dit, dan sê jy vir hom, maar die Bybel sê nie so nie. Die Bybel sê nie so nie. So kom ons kyk, my broer, my sister, dat die woord vandag nie vir ons gaan wegvat waar ons behoort nie. Dat ons teen alle tye bly met die Here. Dat ons teen alle bly by God. Laat dit nie net 'n eendagse ding wees nie. Laat ons elke dag preek. Laat ons elke dag die woord van die Here saai. Laat ons elke dag wat God vir ons gegee het opstaan en sy werk doen. Jy weet, een ou het iets geskryf, né? Is 'n vriend van my, hy sê, as jy moet jou baas vandag gaan gee, jou baas wat jy voorwerk, die ou wat jy nou, die ou wat jou gehuur het, die wat vir jou elke salaris, elke einde van die maand, of elke week gee, of elke dag iets gee, maak nie saak nie. Maar die mens wat jy nou onderwerk, jy weet nie, jy kry ouens wat daar by Eskom werk, jy kry ouens wat by die municipality werk, jy kry ouens wat daar by Klouwe werk, jy kry ouens wat, oral werk daar mense, die beste drivers, polismane, hulle kry salaris. En hulle sit werk in, dis werk wat hulle insit. En as jy moet die werk wat jy insit in Christus vir hom gaan gee, ek bet jou, jy sou lank al gesit het sonder werk. Jy sou lank al weggejaag gewees het van die werke wat jy doen. So kinders van die Here, vandag sit ons as kinders wat sê ons dien die Here. Ons is sy dienskindigste. Ons is sy, in Engels woord sê, we are his vessels, ons is sy servants. Maar wat doen ons vandag wat God mee bly gaan is? Kyk, in die skrif sê dit vir ons, toe hy daar in Jerusalem en aankom, toe hulle sy klere daar gooi en hy bam, bome daar so gooi, die takke en die goeterse gooi daar, het hy geheel. En toe hy kom daar by Lazarus, het Lazarus dood was, toe hy kom daar by die sisters, het hy geheel. Jesus heel omdat hy sien dat wat ons insit in hom in, is nie wat ons insit in die wêreldse goed nie. Kyk nou ook, ons gaan daai maandag gaan ons sit en ons, dit word so dronk gedrink en al die tom goed, dit word beginne. Jy weet, as jy kyk in die paaie van Suid-Afrika nie, as het hierdie tyd kom waar het die pas naweek is, is daar soveel mense wat gevang word in dronkenskap. Jy weet, as jy ook loop nie, hierdie wat nou nie uitgaan nie, na die kerkese konferensies toe en die goederse nie, gaan jy sien wat gaan die buite aan. Jy kom kry die ouens in die latsip, karre se kattebakke oopgemaak en agter sit hulle daar met groot pakke goeders en is net drang wat daar gedrink word. Dit word gedoen op die tyd wat God gesterwe het. En as jy gaan kyk in die kerk, is die kerke leeg. As jy hoor van die woord die buitekant van die Here, is hy leeg. Luister, die kinders kan vir jou songe sing, nie een kerksong kan nie ken die kind nie. Die kind ken nie eens wat is 2 plus 3 nie. Maar hy kind ken alles, hy kan vir jou song sing, nee, laat jy lekker kry. Die nuwe dansiekies wat nou gedoen word, die buitekant, doen hulle alles so goed, maar die kind ken nie die woord van die Here nie. En ons sê die naam van die Vader, die Seun en die Heilige Gees. As jy die pa, as jy wat man is vandag in jou huis, gee jy jou vrou die woord van God vandag, om die woord te kan vat na jou kinders toe. So dat hierdie woord kan loop met jylle bloedlijn. Dat het in alle tye gaan jy kom kry dat jou kinders ken die woord van die Here. Jy weet, dit is baie weinig. Wat jy kom kry, dit lyk so, het lyk die kind is een superster. As een kind op die ouderdom van 7 kan vir jou die versies so roep. Jy weet, dit lyk, maar dit is hoe dit mag wees. Dit mag nie vir ons, ons moet nie verbas is dat ons sien dit gebeur nie. Dit is hoe dit mag wees. Maar ons is nie verbaas om te kan sien, ons kinders het doen al die klomp snaaks te goed die buitenkant. Weet jy nie, as jy nou kyk in Suid-Afrika, kyk, in die ou jare het ons maar school gegaan, en op school moes jy jou moedertaal praat. Ons het Tswana gepraat op school, en Afrikaans gepraat, en dan moet ons Engels doen. En as jy nou kyk, nie, as jy doen Tswana, en dan doen jy Engels, jy raak datla, of jy doen Engels en Afrikaans, of jy doen Xhosa en Engels. So, jy het nie weer 3 tale wat jy leer. Jy het nou net 2. En as jy gaan kyk hierdie kinders, ek luister as hulle loop daar by in die dorp en hulle praat nou die Engels, en dan praat hulle Engels, en dan sit die hies en die schies. Maar kom vat die kind, dan sit jy om in die klaskamer. Dan gee jy die kind een boek, laat hy skryf wat het hy gedoen in die dorp. Dan kan hy nie in sy selde woord wat hy nou gebruik het in die dorp nie. Hy kan hom nie skryf nie. Hy kan dit nie speel nie. Maar die kind kan vir jou een song sing van Nicki Minaj. Van wie ever, wat is die mense se name nou weer. En dan sing die kind die song vir jou van die begin af tot die einde toe. Maar as hy kom by sy schoolwerk, dan ken hy dit nie. As dit kom by die kind se Bybel, dan ken hy nie eens die Bybel nie. Kom ons kyk net onse Vader wat in die hemel is, wat ons geleer is, dat ons die is die gebed wat jy moet bid. En dan ken hy kind dit nie. Maar hier is die kind wat vir jou kan sing van hier af tot daar. Kom ons ontdou Christus teen alle tye. Laat het nie net op een sekerlike dag is, dan sê ons nie is goeie vrijdag vandag, en dan gaan ons alman kerk toe nie. Alman gaan nou mooi skoon was, en dan is ons alman in die huis uit kerk toe. En na sondag is terug waar ons gewees het voorheen. Dis hoekom hy heil. Dis hoekom Jesus Christus heil. Hoor wat sê Paulus vir ons. Paul sê vir ons, ons moet teen alle tye ontdou. Wat gebeur dan in Johannes 20? Wat het gebeur in Johannes 20? Hy het opgestaan. Vir wie? Vir ons. Ons moet dit ontdou. Laat ons dit nie vier nie. Jy weet, ek voel baie sleg as het gesê word, die government kyk na hierdie story dat ons het te veel vakanties, so hulle wil partij van die vakanties wegvat. En as ek gaan kyk, maar dit maak my hart seer nie, toe ek die story sien, dat die vakanties gaan weggevat word. Maar as ek nou mooi kyk na hierdie vakanties is meer aangegee word aan die duivel, as wat God redder gevier word heilig. Want dis baie min mense, wat na die kerk toe kom nou daar. En daar spanne die wat ook maar kom nou kerk toe, die min, as die mense wat ook nooit kerk toe gekom het nie, is maar nou net die dag, wat hulle kom luister, wat word het gesê, dan skree ons nou weer hier, ek is dors, Eloi, Eloi, laat maar samen katane. Hulle kom net vir daar die woorde, en as hulle klaar is, as hulle weg is, dan word alles net so gelos. En daar die woorde raak die dag klaar. Elke sondag in die kerken, of elke tyd in die straat waar jy loop, ga jy nooit weer die woorde hoor. Jy gaat ook nooit weer hoor dat Christus gesterwe het vir ons. En wat ons ondood het te ween, ons het dag gevier, is dag voorbij is weg met ons. Ek sê jou nog, op jou verjaarsdag, kom iemand die maak jou wakker en dan sê jou, hoor jy, gelukkige verjaarsdag, dan ondood jy, ja, as moes my verjaarsdag en dan ga jy vir jou party maak. Of kom jy by deze, krijg jy vir jou, die kinders het vir jou iets, een koekiekie gekoop daar, so lekker ietsiekie, dan gaan jy nou vleesiekie braai daar op die kole, dan hou jy jou verjaarsdag. Oor 2-3 dae, as jy weer vergeet, as jy weer vergeet van jou verjaarsdag, jy praat nie elke dag van jou verjaarsdag nie, want jy onthou dit ook eens weer nie. Maar kom, ons is van die kinders van God vandag, dienskinders van die Here wat vandag opgaan staan en sê ons gaan die Here se naam elke dag roep. Ons gaan die kruisiging van die Here elke dag in ons lewe bring. Ons gaan dit elke dag onthou. Dat dit nie 'n eendagse ding is nie. Dat dit nie net 'n ding is wanneer ons ons vriende het nie. As die kuiergaste gekom het, jy weet van die Kaap af, dan kom ons mense altyd van die Kaap af, as ons nou lang na week, jy weet altyd wat kom kuier, en dan wys ons hulle ons loopkerk. Ons loopkerk om mense te wys ons loopkerk. Ons loop die kerk vir die Here nie. Maar ons vergeet wat het hy vir ons gedoen. Vrydag het hy vir ons gesterwe, Saterdag het hy ons plek reggemaak, myn God. Hy het ons plek reggemaak, Saterdag, myn God. En na hy dit reggemaak het, myn God, het hy opgestaan. Hy het ons teruggevat wat ons moet hoort. Ons posisie wat God vir ons gegee het, het hy vir ons teruggebring. Luister, toe God vir ons skap, het hy gesê, kom ons maak hulle in ons voorbeeld. Nee, in ons eie beeld, kom ons maak die mense. Kom ons maak hulle soos ons. Sien jy, ons het iewers, het ons 'n groot rol gespeel. En na die sonde het ons geval. Ons het geval. Ons het geval. En na ons geval het hy gekom om ons te kom terugsit waar ons hoort. Vandag het ons plekke. Vandag kan ons terugkom en sê, Here, vergewe ons. Vandag kan ons sonde bely vir hom. Vandag kan ons opstaan en praat. Vandag kan ons opstaan en ons kinders se wys die pad na hom. Want hy het weer vir ons die pad oopgemaak na hom. Van 'n pad was toe, deur ons sonde, deur ons gesukkelry, het ons die paaie toegemaak. Waar ons behoort het ons onsself laat val. En nou vandag, my broer, kom ons onthou wat het hy vir ons gedoen. Jy weet, ek het hierdie voorbeeld al gemaak. Baie kere hoor jy mense sê vir jou, sien jy die man wat daar loop, as het nie deur hy gewees het nie. Sou ek nie hier gewees het vandag nie. Ek praat van 'n vrou wat ek weet sy was amper eendag doodgemaak. Maar een ou het gekom en die manne gekeer en gesê, "Hoor hier, los julle die vrou." En die mense het weggehardloop. En toe sê sy, "Weet jy, was dit nie die man nie. Was ek nie hier vandag nie." Sy onthou dit elke dag, lyk dit het gister nog gebeur met haar. Dit is hoeveel jare terug. En sy kinders se weet dit. Sy kinders kan dit ook loop en sê eendag. Wil jy sien hy kind wat daar loop? Want dit is nie sy pa nie, so my ma, of ek nie hier gewees het nie. Maar min doen ons om te kan loop vandag en sê, wil jy, wat is nie deur Christus nie, so ek nie vandag hier gewees het nie. As jy gaan kyk, die mense wat in Noag se tyd daar gewees het, is daar een van hulle wat kan staan en sê, weet jy, as dit nie deur Jesus gewees het nie, was ek nie hier vandag nie. Onthou, hulle is almal weg. Hulle het almal, is net Noah wat nog gelewe het. En Noah het dit staan in die Bybel vir ons. Ons weet nog steeds dat as Noah nie die ark gebou het nie, was ons ook nie hier nie. As Noah nie sy lewe ook gegee het aan die Here nie, was ons nie hier nie. So kom ons sit bietjie terug en dink, kinders van die Here. Wat gebeur dit in Sodom en Gomorra? As dit moet hier kan gebeur met ons vandag, wie sal eendag opstaan en sê, was dit nie deur Christus nie, dan was ons nie hier vandag nie. Kom, ek vra nou vandag vir jou, is dit nie deur hy wat jy vandag nog steeds kan lewe nie? Is dit nie hy wat geloop het en gesê het, dit is beter vir my om julle te los, om weg te gaan van julle af, sodat die Heilige Gees kan op julle kom? Is dit nie vandag die Heilige Gees wat vandag vir jou dryf nie? Is dit nie die Heilige Gees wat vandag vir jou dra nie? Is dit nie die Heilige Gees wat as jy iets verkeerd wil doen en dan keer jy, dan sê jy, jy gaan tronk toe en jy gaan nie die hemelpoort kan sien nie, want jy is besig om dit te dink en dit te kan doen. Jy weet, die conviction kom nou en dan in jou, wanneer jy wil iets sleg doen. En dan dink jy terug, sê jy, weet jy, dit help nie, ek het al die goeie werk gedoen nie, dan moet ek vandag kom val, net met hierdie klein dingie. Dit is nie die moeite werd nie, my broer. Onthou, wat het Jesus Christus gemaak vir jou by die kruis. Onthou wat het hy vir jou gedoen toe hy opgestaan het. Moenie vergeet sy werk wat hy vir jou gedoen het op hy Saterdag nie. Want toe hy daar so staan het, hy die ander oog gesê hier langs aan hom. Vandag sal jy saam met my wees in die paradijs. Net omdat hy een ding gedoen het. Onthou my wanneer jy daar kom. Want jy mag nie eintlik hier gewees het nie. Ek moes hier gewees het. As jy kan weet waar moes jy gewees het vandag. Maar hier is jy vandag. As jy dit kan onthou elke dag van jou lewe, sal jy kan die hemelpoort kan sien. Luister wat sê Paulus. Hy sê, Paul sê, ek gee dit aan jou, wat ek gekry het van die skrifte af. Dit is die goeie nuus wat ek bring. Dat is geen ander nuus wat hy bring nie. Dis wat hy vir jou bring. Hy bring nie vir jou geld nie. Hy bring nie vir jou prosperity gospel nie. Hy bring vir jou die kruisiging van God. Jy weet, as baie mense, weet jy, as het so gepreek word hier op die TV nie, dan hoor jy net, hoe preek die manne mooi. Hulle preek baie mooi, en sê dat klaar is, en verkoop hulle vir jou iets. Amen. My broer, my sister, ek weet, ons het die gebid, die kom ons bid net gauw. En dan weet jy, die woord is so lekker, maar kom ons gaan in die gebed. Father, we thank you, we honor, we glorify your name, Lord Jesus. We call upon you, Lord, that we remember, Father God, that we don't celebrate and forget, but rather that we remember every day what you have done for us. You have died for us on the cross. You have restored our position back with God. And the love with God. And you have risen for us. And live so that the Holy Spirit can come down on us. It's always about us, Christ. Now in return we are. Give us the strength, Father, and the knowledge and the wisdom to know, Father, that it should, in our lives, should always be about you and not about us. It was about us, and now it's all about you in our life. That we don't change, that we don't move away from our position where you have placed us once more, Lord Jesus. Through our sinful lives, Father, we pray that whatever we have done in the past that is wrong, we pray that you forgive us, Father. Bind us, Lord Jesus. Bind this church. House of Truth, Kimberley, Lord Jesus. Bind us. Bind us and make us one, Heavenly Father. Bind the whole congregants of SKM, Heavenly Father. Make us one as you are one, Father God. And teach us to work together, Heavenly Father, as you have worked, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray, Father God, that you never leave us nor forsake us. Let your presence be always with us, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Guide us, Holy God, Lord Jesus, throughout this week, throughout these days, Father God. As you have been doing all these years unto us, Father, every month, every year, you have been carrying us. We thank you. We honor, we glorify your name, Lord Jesus. Be with us now and forevermore. Amen and amen. Dankie, luisteraars. Kom maar weer volgende week, laat ons ontmoet. Amen.